Welcome to the Strangers and Aliens podcast.
Strangers. To boldly say what needs to be said.
Would you be a stranger or an alien? Or would you be a strange alien?
The truth is out there. I am your father's best friend's plumber. Superman.
Wonder Woman.
Heroes. Villains. Captain Picard versus Captain Kirk.
Do you think that there's room in sci-fi for God? The very first thing that God did,
so wise you are,
was that he created something, so we have a creative God.
This is Strangers and Aliens Podcast.
Welcome, our fellow strangers and aliens. We have something exceedingly strange for you today. And no, I'm not talking about Steve. I'm Dr. Jace. I'm Dr. Jace, and I'm here with...
I'm Steve, the aforementioned strange or alien thing.
And I'm Ben Avery, and I am also excited about the exceedingly... I wasn't expecting the exceedingly strange, but yeah, it's definitely a strange topic today.
Yes.
And maybe slightly alien, depending on how you look at it.
This is true. No. It depends on your definition of alien.
Yeah.
It's just strange. It's not alien.
Well, maybe that's a debate for some other time when...
No, it's not.
We actually...
Yeah, Steve doesn't debate. He just talks down, too. Yeah.
Steve, when you're ready to come down from the mountain and talk with us... And then...
When God has given you all the right answers, you let it...
And written them.
Well, he
in
has
stone.
Given me my brain, so I'm ready. So let's go.
Yes. Well, speaking... we can take that one or two ways.
Oh my!
Wow, we're gonna wait in the car while you guys finish up, okay?
So, by the way, Dr. Jace, have you had a chance to listen to our last episode?
Honestly, I have not.
Okay,
because I don't know if our audience knows, you two know that my wife is extremely pregnant. So we've been busy
as opposed to just, you know, halfway pregnant, you know.
No. She is fully, like, she is fully poppable right now.
You're ready in the next couple weeks, right? Like, aren't you super soon?
Well, yeah. Saturday. I mean, it could literally happen while we're doing this podcast. My in fact, I actually have
that would
left
be so
my,
awesome.
Yeah.
That'd be strange.
That'd be the best podcast ever.
I'm actually leaving my phone on just in case I get that message. So if it goes off, I apologize. But my wife is at any moment can call me. So I need to be ready.
And this is your first, right?
It is. Yeah. Yes.
That's very awesome. Exciting. Very exciting.
We are ready to welcome a new little alien into our little...
I don't know which I would rather have. An alien or a stranger?
Well, stranger implies, you know, that you don't know each other, you know. So an alien, at least, you know.
You know aliens.
We're talking about aliens here. There have been some people who have talked about the movie Alien as a metaphor for pregnancy.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't want to be around that one.
We're not going there today.
Yeah.
We are going in a little darker area, but we're not going there.
Yeah, Ben mentioned that, all ladies, all of our lady fans, Ben Avery, you can write him.
Yeah, write to me at, go to jaceoneal.com.
No.
You can click on contact there. So, Jace, this is exciting, and there probably will be an episode or two where you're not going to be around, so we'll try and find someone to take your place, but, you know, it won't be long.
Well, we never know.
Take his place.
But it might happen right in between.
He cannot be replaced. He can only be succeeded.
I might be able to. We should have a podcast while we're in the midst of labor, and I could tell you if that alien representation is actually true or not.
Okay, Jace, I've been in the midst of that 5 times, and I can tell you right now that would never be allowed. Your wife would kill you.
Yes.
You would not come out of that alive.
Yes. It wouldn't be like an undeath type of resurrection of the dead. Yeah. It would be dead.
I will tell you this, though. When all is said and done, Dr. Jace, you are going to have the most amazing respect for your wife. And I'm not talking about just how, it's all the pains. You're going to see some strength you never knew she had.
Yeah.
And you are just going to come out of that loving that kid that you don't even know.
I told her, hey, babe, the only thing I ask is that she doesn't turn around and say, you did this to me. That's the only thing I ask.
No, knowing you two and knowing the relationship you have, it's going to be good. And you're going to, like I said, when all is said and done, you're going to come out of that room with a child. And you're going to be proud of that child, but you're going to be proud of your wife, too. I can just tell you that right now. It's an amazing thing. For a good marriage, it does nothing more than strengthen it and just increase that love. So
we are so excited, which is funny that we're talking about love and birth, since today we're talking about
pretty much death. Yeah.
Dead people. So that's a lovely segue.
So, a quick disclaimer. We are going to be talking about some movies and some books and TV shows that we don't necessarily recommend to everyone.
A little gory.
We're not going to be getting into gore. And I think the conversation is very, very good and very, very valid to have about just these ideas that are being presented in pop culture. However, we're not saying go out and watch this immediately, you know, and we're not saying, you know, because every person is different as far as what things they can handle and can't handle. Just wanted to kind of to get that in there. But I will say I've just discovered Walking Dead through Netflix. I watched the first season on Netflix.
Yes.
After many people told me, you know, this is great television. You should give it a try. You should give it a watch. I don't normally watch zombie stuff. I'm not a big fan of zombie stuff just because of the gore and the gruesomeness. But I watched Walking Dead on Netflix, and then I went ahead and I've picked up them up. I'm now up to speed on season two of the series. And, you know, for someone just from a television standpoint, and Jace, you can probably attest to this. You know, for someone who likes Lost and likes, you know, those kind of character dramas, Lost and Jericho and some of those shows. This really fits right into that that niche of a group of people thrown into a just outlandish situation.
Yeah.
But then there's the zombie part. I mean, that's what it is. It's about a zombie apocalypse, and most, you know, I would say, I don't know what the percentage is, but like 2% of the population, 2% of humanity is not a zombie. It seems like it's just like
right.
So yeah, zombies, guys, zombies.
Zombies.
Now,
wait, hold on. I can do my.
Which is zombie for zombie, right?
I think that's Wookiee for zombie.
Yeah, that's.
Wookiee
zombies. Wookiee zombies.
Do not.
It would be zombie, and it would have an extra E on the end.
Hey, there is a Star Wars novel that is a zombie story.
Wow. I would not
I have
want
no
to
interest
be...
in that.
Yeah, I don't want to be in the next room with a zombie Wookiee. That would not be good.
Yeah.
Back to Walking Dead quickly. There will be some minor spoilers, but we do want to avoid all spoilers. So we're not going to try and give away the series. We're just going to get into some ideas there. Steve, you're not familiar with the series, is that correct?
Read the first comic book and I watched the first episode. Other than that, no.
Okay. So some of this conversation you might not follow, but we're going to try and keep this so that someone who's not watched the show will still get stuff out of this conversation, because there's a lot of meat there.
We're going to be talking about zombies as a whole.
Yeah. So let's start with some of the earlier zombie movies. And I know, Steve, when this topic came up, you kind of went, oh. And the reason wasn't because, oh, I don't like the topic. It was more, oh, because of what zombies are now compared to what they were before. Is that right?
Well, right. Yeah. I mean, I love old-time radio and the older type of zombie lore where, you know, it's more of a question. Is this a dead person? Is it like someone who is almost dead, but this person is a witch doctor is pretending to raise them from the dead? You know, there's much more mystery involved in what it is. And, you know, it even goes back to, you know, a book written by W.B. Seabrook. It was basically a travelogue called The Magic Island, and he's basically going around Haiti and giving his observations here and there about different things that he's seeing. One of the things he's seeing in this culture is these people working in the fields, and they seem mindless. They seem brainless. They seem like they're just to him, they seem dead. And in fact, one of the title of the piece is Dead Men Working in the Cane Fields. So when you dig a little deeper, you understand that basically they're being forced to do this labor and forced into a lifestyle where there's nothing for them except this work. They are just, you know, basically living on the existence level. And if you think about how zombies work, that's basically how they want to exist, by continuing on eating brains or whatever. And just very early in the whole culture of it, you see these people acting as zombies, and then it turns out that they're not. But it really is one of the very first.
Didn't that kind of give rise then to some of the myth then, with the
right.
the idea of, you know, the voodoo magic and the psychotropic drugs and all that kind of thing?
Right, absolutely. And then, of course, the lore grew from that and went over to Hollywood, and you had, I think, White Zombie.
With Bela Lugosi, yeah.
Yeah, it was the first big movie that sort of pushed it over into the zeitgeist and made people start to think about what zombies are. And then, of course, I went to Pulp Fiction and the old-time radio shows, you know, the like the Shadow old-time radio shows. I mean, if you look at the titles of some of those shows, it's death this and this type of death and et cetera. And just in the first couple of years, you had, you know, the Valley of the Living Dead, the Isle of the Living Dead, the Ship of the Living Dead, the Society of the Living Dead, you know. It's like
the life
a
of
lot
the
of living
dead.
Dead. Yeah. The Autobiography of the Living Dead. And just, you know,
isn't that like an oxymoron, the Autobiography of the Living Dead?
I think that was my
there point. Is a Living Dead Diary or Diary of the Living Dead, I think, but it's meant to be like a first person camera, you know, Blair Witch Project type of thing. I haven't seen that one, so I'm just no. talking out of school here, but
right.
But, Steve, what's your beef of what's the big issue for you on how zombies started versus what they've become?
The big issue for me is, and this goes back to a lot of things, and you know, maybe we could do an entire episode on on my curmudgeonly ideas about different things. But I like how original ideas grow. I don't always like what they grow into. And this goes into, you know, the English language, and it goes into baseball, and it goes into all these other different things that I enjoy. But I might not enjoy them right now. I might not enjoy the whatever place it's occupying in society right now. And for zombies, with the older mystery style of zombies, like, are these zombies? Are these people that are dead? Are they undead? What are they? And trying to figure that out, teasing that out, going to a more blatant, you know, these are dead people, they're attacking, what are we going to do about it? Taking the emphasis off of what are they and putting it onto what are they doing. To me,
you like the mystery. You like the older idea of these guys who are walking around, they could be
right.
You know, what actually are these things, and right. are they still alive, or are they just hypnotized, you know, people who have been given some sort of drug or something, or, you know, some sort of voodoo drug, or
right.
as opposed to where it is now, where it's basically just an apocalypse and people right. running away yeah. from them. Is that?
Yeah. And it's the same thing with, you know, like, I was a big fan of Wolverine back in the, you know, the 80s, until everything got figured out, and all of a sudden, you know exactly where it came from. All the mystery's gone, and you're sort of like, well, now I don't really like the whole backstory because someone put it in cement, and it's not what I wanted. So now it sort of taints the whole character. So now I'm sort of a big Wolverine fan anymore, you know.
But it seems that that's a reoccurring theme with you, Steve. You like yes. something, and then all yeah. of a sudden they ruin it for you.
Yeah. My whole life is ruined. No, but it is that type of thing where I'm more of a fan of you know, the theory behind something or the logic behind something, and I'm not that much of a fan of where that logic or where that theory ends up. And I think it could be because of how I think personally things should end up, or where they should go, and then I feel unfulfilled. with that stuff. So it's probably me. It's probably not the actual thing. I mean, things grow, things morph, things change.
And this is definitely something that did change and grow and morph.
Right.
But there is one kind of a 0 hour. Or I don't know what you would call it, but a moment where this became something else.
Right.
And something different. And that's with George Romero's Night of the Living Dead.
Right.
Which turned it into this, it's not so much the, okay, these guys are scary guys that are walking around terrorizing the village or the countryside, and turned it into a, they're after you and it's everywhere and right. Watch out and or you're going to be one. Have you guys had a chance to look at or watch The Night of the Living Dead, that original?
I have,
movie?
I've seen most of it.
I think I saw both that and then the remake at different times. I didn't like sit down and watch them together to compare and contrast, but it was a while ago. But yeah. And I mean, yeah. It's moving and it's gripping. I won't go and talk any more about my problems with it because I think the last 5 minutes have sort of covered that. So I'll just try to give my impression of it. I mean, it was a really interesting reimagining of the whole concept. And you have reimaginings of. Go ahead.
Steve, your issue with it is basically because the logic doesn't connect with the original kind of incarnation of it. It's not, is there any part of it that's kind of a moral issue for you or kind of as a Christian worldview, do you view it in a different way now that it's morphed? Do you have an issue on that level? Is it purely that the logic doesn't connect for you?
I think it's definitely just a fantasy thing. And I understand that. I think when it comes to horror and when it comes to things like this, if I don't see some sort of spiritual relevance or it doesn't resonate with me in a Christian way, then I have trouble, putting it up on a shelf or saying, hey, everyone should see this or something, because to me, it just falls into the realm of, just another fluff thing,
right.
Another fun thing that people can watch. If you like that type of thing, you don't get anything out of it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Ben.
I was going to say, make no mistake, that's what, I mean, the zombie movie is popular because of the gore and the violence and that's what attracts people initially to this, is that it is gory, it is scary, it is a thrill, in that roller coaster scary kind of way to watch these disgusting things do disgusting things and threaten more disgustingness to the protagonist.
Well, I think that's where many of, people who I know who are Christians who wholly reject zombie stuff, because if they don't know much about it, they will equate zombies as demonic. Like they're basically possessed people doing really horrible things. And in most of the cases, that's not what the story that they're saying, as far as, now you can look at it and interpret it that way, but the way they explain how the zombies come about are not necessarily that they're possessed, but that they've,
it's disease now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, disease is the big story.
Right.
But that's the thing though, is you've got this whole genre that's based on gore and blood and images that really, and which is why I don't necessarily like this this genre, this horror, this zombie, especially a part of a horror genre, is that it's gross,
Right. But yet you don't like it, but you do like Walking Dead. Is that correct?
Yeah, I do, and I do like some movies that I have seen. I've liked I listened to the audiobook version of. I think his name's Max Brooks. He wrote World War Z. He's actually Mel Brooks' son. But he wrote this novel about, and it's going to be a movie with Brad Pitt. But it sounded like it's going to be a PG-13 movie, which would be interesting. See what they do with it. But it's basically this guy who goes around interviewing people after the zombie apocalypse and kind of doing a chronicle of the war against the zombies. And what's interesting to me about that is it's these personal stories about these human characters dealing with this horrible situation. But, you know, the movies that I know are going to be just super gory, I'm just going to stay away from.
Yeah,
Walking Dead, I can't believe they get away with some of that on TV. Honestly.
No, it's because it's on AMC. See, for me, I've never been a big zombie person. Like, it's just not my thing. In fact, gosh, until my brother made me watch Shaun of the Dead, I couldn't remember the last zombie thing that I'd seen. And it was just that they kind of poked so much fun. It was more of a comedy with Shaun of the Dead that I even remotely tolerated it. It's still not my favorite genre, but with, like you've been, I watched The Walking Dead simply because I teach intro to aesthetics at Regent University, and so I like to keep up on what's out there, and obviously Walking Dead has gotten tons of press. And like you've been, of all the zombie stuff, which I usually don't get into, I find that The Walking Dead is far more interesting. But I like it for a different reason than I guess many people, because I don't like the gore so much. And actually, The Walking Dead, I don't think they show as much as most movies, because there's most of the shows, there's nothing going on. But when it does happen, it sticks out.
Yeah.
But for me, I've always been attracted to movies or shows or books where, you know, the world kind of is turned on its head, so to speak, and there's chaos. Like even movies like miniseries like The Stand, or
you're talking about the Last Man on Earth type of scenario.
Yes,
and
yes,
exactly. I really enjoy those too.
I Am Legend.
I'll tell you, Dr. Jace, I can think of a zombie story that you do like though, and that's that's the Borg
from
Star Trek Next Generation, because that's basically a zombie scenario where your identity is being taken away from you.
You're right.
What's great about it is that the scenario is brought on not by a disease, although the disease is something that we're afraid of, but it's brought on by technology.
Well, exactly.
And that's what's really interesting about that zombie metaphor.
Well, that's are the Borg really dead? I mean, are they is it technically an undead situation?
Yeah, because they're completely dependent on their technology. In fact, in most of the Treks, if the Borg are completely dependent, if you were to try to take away their Borg nest, so to speak, they'd die. It wasn't until Star Trek Voyager that they kind of fudged that so they could get a cool character of Seven of Nine. But up until then, it was very Borg-like in that if you stopped their Borgness and took away the technology, they would die, and they were just mindless creatures.
But does that mean someone who's on life support is technically dead or undead? I mean,
well, no. The point isn't, you know, the technology makes you dead or undead. The point is the metaphor there of the technology taking your identity.
Yeah, it takes
and
your identity.
Putting you into this collective where you have no independent thought.
Right.
And so identity robbing.
Yeah, it's the metaphor of it and the aesthetic of it. That's a zombie type situation.
Right.
But it's that the fear, the same kind of fear that these zombie movies, especially the modern ones, have, that is what made the Borg so effective as enemies on Next Generation. A little bit less on Voyager.
Let me ask you guys this, Ben and Steve, because obviously as Christians, and even though we're Christians, we view things differently. If we were to look at the themes in zombies, what would we see? And I can start off to give you guys time to think about it. The reason I'm interested in The Walking Dead is because I see a lot of parallels to current society in that we've got these in Walking Dead. What happens is they catch a disease, they die, but then minutes or hours later, their bodies regenerate and it's no longer the person. But it's this disease, and they're just purely operating on base instincts. And I think that if you look around at society, we have a lot of people that are just working off that. If this whole thing, just do what you feel right, go with your heart, go with, do what feels good. Well, so you look at people. If you ever watch Jersey Shore, which I don't, but if you look at these things and the Kardashians and reality TV and even on the news, these people, they're not considering what they're doing. They're just kind of going on base instincts. I'm going to feed myself. I'm going to sleep around. I'm going to do what feels good, not knowing that they are spiritually dead. And right. I find that in as far as The Walking Dead is concerned, it seems to me that there's only a few people that are actually awake to, enough to know that this is not the way things should be.
Right. Yeah, and that's an element that's one element that I like about The Walking Dead. Although they do bring up the idea later on, the question is made: are they dead? Are they diseased? You know, is there a cure? Is there a possible cure for this? And it's very interesting, you know, because you have those conversations and those questions coming up, and that's what for me makes for good sci-fi is mm-hmm. asking these questions that get you thinking about like what you're saying, then Dr. Jace, how are these zombies? You know, it's like Godzilla. You go back to Godzilla, which is for me the prime example of. A science fiction concept turned into a metaphor for, you know, that day where right. the Japanese people had just come off of having the only nuclear weapons used in aggressive warfare ever right. and since. And so then you have this movie, Godzilla comes out, and it's about this force of nature, this nuclear, it's created by nuclear power and it's destroying the city. And that first Godzilla movie is very, very dark. And apparently there was another movie that came out at the same time as Godzilla by Akira Kurosawa that was also about the bomb, but it was not as successful because with Godzilla, it was a thrill at some times, but at the same time, it was horror. And yeah, it's ridiculous, but you know, it tapped into that fear that they had and that we had, you know, worldwide of the nuclear apocalypse. And now we're looking at this... you know, these zombie things as we are losing our identity. As far as everyone, you know, you just like you were saying, Dr. Jace, they're going by their base instincts. We're just doing what feels good because it feels good, not right. because it is good. And, you know, I think the question that Walking Dead sometimes should make you ask is, am I a zombie? The last episode they had, I don't want to give away too much, but they had these two cops who had been turned into zombies, and the two primary protagonists of the show are both cops. And they look at these, there's one shot where the guy, he's standing there looking at these two zombies that are, they've been destroyed. They're dead. They're dead for good. He looks at them and you just start asking yourself, okay, how, you know, he's thinking, how am I like this? I'm like them. You know, and that's the question, I think, that for Walking Dead to be something valid to watch, that's a question to look at.
Well, I think that's, you know, that's an actual great point, because if you look at the landscape of America, what you have, you know, if we talk about kind of mindless, if you look at a lot of men, we're men, and a lot of men in their families, they become apathetic, become lazy, they're not intentional, they a lot of them spend time just in front of the television, and they don't really engage with their families, with the culture, and
right.
we just kind of eat, sleep, work, and if you look around, there's just a lot of zombie-like activities going on, even at the local church.
Right. Yeah, and Jace, it's a
cultural thing. I mean, it really is, in some ways, what you're saying, is a cultural, a product of our American culture where we just you go through life, you right. get your house, you do your life, and then you're done,
which is unfortunate, because even if you look at Ecclesiastes 5:1, it says, as you enter the house of God, keep your ears open and your mouth shut. It is evil to make mindless offerings to God. And right. I just think that we often we get apathetic, we get lazy, we get slothful. And that's the thing, when I look at The Walking Dead in particular, that does draw me, besides the fact that it's well made. I mean, it's from, even if you don't like zombies at all, from a pure television quality excellence level, they do it very, very well. Good characters, good storytelling. But again, the zombies, the mindless beings, I think should cause each of us to take an account of what we're doing in our lives right now.
And I wonder how many people get that. I wonder how many people watch a movie about zombies and kind of get that idea of, wow, you know, am I like that? You know,
I think, and maybe Dr. Jace, I'm not sure if your expertise goes this level, but and correct me if I'm wrong, but when you're watching something, you go from, I think it's beta brainwaves to alpha brainwaves, in which your beta brainwaves are the, I think it's the beta, one or the other, is the critical, when you're looking at something critically. And when you're watching something, it's very quick that it shifts into the, you're not being critical of something, you're being accepting of it. And
I think beyond the brainwaves, I think we're kind of, you know, we're kind of a consumer society where, mm-hmm. do you know, I mean, this is scary. The majority of our young people's values are determined by media, entertainment. Yes. Like 20 years ago, 75% of the influence in a young person's life was their parents, 13% was the school, and I think like 7% was the church. Now, the majority of young people's values are being determined by culture, but by entertainment. And right. the thing is that they're not taught to critically evaluate what they see and hear. And that's part of what we do in my Intro to Aesthetics class, is that we study how to interpret and consume critically. So we're not just mindless zombies, right. so to speak.
Right.
And that was part of my freshman English class that I taught, though, was critical thinking.
Yeah.
So the thing is, it is easier to consume than to digest.
Yes.
It's just easier. And it's more fun to consume the things that are, you know, that are fluff and that aren't mm-hmm. aren't healthy.
Yeah. Because you don't think about the end process, not to get all scatological on everybody, but you're not thinking about, you know, how everything's going to come out in the end. You're thinking about, you know, the front loading.
You went there again. Good grief.
Yeah, I was hoping you turned. Like, no, don't go there.
It went there.
But no, seriously, another thing that a lot of people have pointed out in these horror movies, and you would have to go into the reasons behind the people that actually made these movies and see what their decisions behind these were. But, you know, a lot of people come out of it as seeing zombies as a metaphor for sin and for a sinful nature.
Sure.
And, you know, you have these things that are crawling around, they're disgusting, and eventually they will destroy the living people, the people who they mirror, basically.
Well, I guess that comes down to your eschatological view of how the world ends, because even within the Christian culture, you have people that believe that the end will all be bad, and then you have people who believe that everything will get better in the end. There's all these different views. So if your eschatological view is that everything's going to go to hell in a handbasket, then yeah, sin is it would be a very interesting metaphor to describe. The only thing is about that one that I would wonder is because with sin, there is the hope for redemption in Christ. So who would be that redemptive force in a zombie film if zombies right. represented sin?
Well, I don't know if the who is what matters as much as the metaphor of the cure. I mean, there if you're going to take that view of it, then there needs to be a cure. There needs to be – and that's the zombie story I would do. And if there's any artist out there who really wants to do a zombie story, then email me, because I'm with you. The zombie story that I would do is there would be a cure, and the cure would involve someone somehow sacrificing themselves. But the problem with the virus cure thing is there's no decision for the person who's being cured.
Sure.
And that's another element that I would put in there, is that you have right. to want to be cured. If you're a zombie and someone brings you the cure, it won't take if there's not something in you that actually is willing right. to work toward being healed, or, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, I mean, that's just the way I would take it. And now I've just given that story away for free to all of our listeners who are going to.
Yeah, I'm actually writing as we speak. No, yes. But I actually think you could actually go another route with the the metaphor. And from a theological doctrinal standpoint, for those who hold kind of a Calvinistic predestination kind of viewpoint, then this is kind of a reverse, the zombie story is kind of a reverse kind of elect, in that there are some that are healthy and there are some that are not. And you could go into the metaphor of, you know, that this was ordained from the very beginning. There's also, I've heard students talk about this, about how it kind of represents that viewpoint, so to speak. Although some of the other students who believe in more of a Arminian free will background would argue to their death. So it's a very interesting conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's and in the context of this, you know, storytelling, that's where good stories go, is they cause the conversation and they make you take a look at yourself. You know, that's what art does. It's a mirror. It's a Rorschach test.
That's what good art should do, anyway.
Well, I think all art does. It may not,
but not to everybody.
No,
a lot of people look at art and they just come away with.
But it's the person who is looking at it who's deciding: is this? Am I just going to consume this art, or am I going to analyze it, or is it just not good enough to engage me?
Well, the truth is because if God is the original creator and He created a beautiful creation. And if you look at in Romans, when it says that through the creation, we get a glimpse of God, that we know that there's a God because of nature, yet many people overlook that. So that would lend itself to what Ben is saying, is that even good art, not everybody recognizes it, because some people are mindless zombies and they don't recognize it and they ignore it, or they choose to overlook it.
Right. And that's where I think what you're saying, Steve, is if it's not good, then you choose, oh, I'm not going to spend the time on this. And I have a friend who's a Christian, and he seeks out movies that a lot of Christians would not watch, looking for the nuggets of truth. And I have a real problem with some of the things that he's using. You know, like he brings up a movie, I'm like, that isn't that like pornographic, you know? Well, but it has this good theme, and I'm like, well, wait a minute. I can't speak to the theme, but from what I've seen in the commercials, man, that's not.
Yeah, you can't just justify or, you know, put a Christian wash on any movie that's out there. You have to, at some point, take what the author intended, you know, authorial intent for whatever this thing is. And if you take something away from it, if you watch Star Wars and say, well, you know, I think of the Force as Christianity or God or something, you know, at some point you have to say to yourself, well, this is not what George Lucas intended it to be. So I'm getting out of it here is not really valid in the larger context of it.
Well, I think that's I would reject that a little bit, because first of all, when it comes to television and film, it's not just author intent, because it's a collaborative. So you have no idea the original
modern stuff. Yes,
the original. You know, if you go to someone has a screenplay, we don't know what his original intent was, and then the director gets a hold of the producers, and then the actors, when they get into the scenes, they do something different. So you could have one actor who's a Christian who was able to slip in things here and there that has nothing to do with the original.
Right, because
that's where I heard someone say
postmodern context of the whole thing.
I heard someone say on NPR though, trust the art, not the artist. And you know, the artist can try and say this is what I'm saying with this piece of art, but in maybe they're producing something that's just wrong as far as the message or the meaning behind it. But the fact that it's wrong, and that you're looking at something that's not correct, that is just not true, you are able to, in some ways anyway, get truth out of that by seeing the lie. Now, that's not – I'm not saying go out and watch that, you know, those porn movies because you're looking for the truth that's in that lie or whatever. But
I'm glad you clarified.
Yeah. But I am saying, you know, and this goes back to some people that I do know who in some conversations we had online with some Christian comic creators, is it's just a story. It's just a story. You know, and I don't believe there is a such thing as just a story. I think there's always going to be
every story,
a message there.
Every
somewhere.
Movie, every song has a worldview. Everything has a worldview. It's just a matter of it is congruent or not with the Bible. Now, if you look at – and also talk about pornography. I don't consider pornography art. I think it's an exploitation of human beings.
Yeah.
And if you look at the history of art, if you look at cultures, if you notice, because people talk about the nude sculptures from Greece or the nude paintings from Roman history, if you did a study on the progression of art in any society, if you notice that the time progresses, where they show more nudity and more ideal beauty, meaning that they're not just doing artwork of the average Joe with a beer gut, but they're doing like the ideal guys with abs and muscles, and then right. They start to show the nudity. That usually reflects in the morality of that culture, and it's not long after that culture declines and is wiped out. And so you can do a history of culture through art and realize that, yes, art does reflect the culture, but it also reflects the morality of that culture. And right. There's tons of evidence that shows that when a culture, right before their decline in their artwork, you can see kind of where their morality is, and their morality or lack thereof is what leads them to the failure of their society.
That would be an interesting study.
Wow, this conversation went way took a turn I was not expecting us to go down. But, you know, it's been a good conversation.
Oh, yeah. You want to bring it back to
How do we bring it back now? I mean, yeah, where do we go from here? We go to
mailbag.
The mailbag.
Whereas well, the zombie version of mailbag.
Now, one thing I've never understood is is there a zombie movie where the zombie actually talk? Because you see them now, you know, the cartoons, they say brains. I've never seen that. I mean, the whole idea is they've lost their brain, right?
And they can't use it. Lost their identity.
I guess maybe, I don't know, the whole they're just doing what they were doing before, and so maybe they can talk. I don't know, but
I would imagine that a disease that would completely kill a person and wipe out their identity, I would venture to say that their verbal capacity would be also
gone. Yeah. All right. Well, speaking of people with verbal capacity, that's
like a flux capacitor or something.
Yeah. We did have some emails responding to our Cancel Too Soon podcast and giving us some shows that we missed.
Some good ones, too.
Dave Mattingly says, besides the one mentioned on the show, I also tip my hat to these Cancel Too Early series. Alien Nation, Buddy Cop Sci-Fi. There were some TV movies to try to explore other themes, but there were many more stories that could have been told, 22 episodes. Nowhere Man, a man's identity has been stolen and a mysterious conspiracy wants him dead, 25 episodes. Pushing Daisies, Raising the Dead had never been so quirky. Speaking of zombies, 22 episodes. Century City, lawyers in the future took on cases involving clones, AI, genetic manipulation, personality downloads, and more, 9 episodes.
I was going to say Century City. I was
thinking about
bringing
that at
it up because it had a sci-fi aspect to it. It was interesting. Oprah was the president. Things they threw in some funny stuff, but they really the things they really got into really made you think, and it made you say to yourself as a creator, "Wow, these guys are really they're not just throwing in fluff like you know, oh my robot ate my homework." You know, I mean, it could have been something silly like that, but they were really digging into some deeper aspects of what the science could be, you know, 20 years from now.
And then Dave's last one is with an honorable mention to The Adventures of Briscoe County Jr.
Oh yeah,
they did a nice job of wrapping up, but I'd have loved more. Wasn't that the same year that X-Files came out?
It was right around that time.
Like, well, I don't know, they came out together and X-Files stuck and Briscoe County Jr. didn't.
It might have been, yeah, because I know that they played them together. That's what I know. And I did like that show, Briscoe County. That was
I did too.
That was a very fun show.
What's his name?
Campbell.
Yeah, Bruce Campbell.
Bruce Campbell.
Speaking of Century City, there was a show that I saw one episode of, and I can't find this show anywhere. And so if our listeners, maybe they know what I'm talking about. But there's a show, it was about three generations of police officers, one in the past, one in the present, and one in the future. And I just remember, like, the future cops had things like, instead of airbags, they had gel that would shoot out and, like, turn into foam. And, like, so in a car accident, so the guy opens the door and he steps out of the car because he's covered in foam. And just, it was not good and not well received.
That's an interesting concept, though.
It's a great concept.
Like, if you did a show, like, of cold cases that were investigated at all these different time periods, that would be very, very interesting.
So. Yeah, and seeing the different styles of investigation.
Yeah, and there's all sorts of conspiracies that could go on. I kind of like that concept. I don't know that show, but I like the concept.
Yeah.
So we had Drew. You know, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, we're talking about one show that I never mentioned on the Cancel Too Soon was Chuck. After we had I'm not going to say – I don't know if they canceled or if they just wanted to close it up. I wanted to I would have loved three more years of Chuck. I just really like that show. So I think even though they were able to really end it off the way they wanted to, it only ran for five seasons. I would have loved at least two more seasons.
Yeah, but I think five seasons is pushing the limit of, you know, cancel too soon.
Well, mentioning Chuck, I just now, as we were talking, got an email from Mark Christopher Lawrence from Chuck, Big Mike. We interviewed him. He said he's just got done with pilot auditions, and he's in the run for a movie. So he's keeping very busy. So if there are any producers or directors out in Hollywood listening to us, because we know you love listening to our podcast, you need Mark Christopher Lawrence on your cast. He is awesome. So make sure you put him on there. And, you know, if you're bored, you can cast the three of us nerds too.
Yeah. We could play three nerds very well, by the way. So, okay, yeah. We have an email from Drew Rubb. And his email was, been listening to the recent podcast about TV shows gone too soon. Just wanted to pipe out about SGU, Stargate Universe. I love that series, especially the build-up to the final season and ending. I hated the ending personally, which is disagreeing with me. I kind of liked it. As I wanted to know what happened to Eli, which is agreeing with me, and you, Dr. Jace. But I still feel like the writing and the acting just got better, and as the series was really hitting its stride, that's when they decided to kill it.
Yeah.
The biggest mistake on their part, in my humble opinion. I liked it almost as much as I liked Atlantis, which I love more than the original SG-1 series, but I enjoyed them all. And I replied to him. That was an email, and I kind of talked to him about how I like the finale of SGU just kind of makes you say life goes on. In fact, all of the Stargate Universe series said that by having characters from other series show up, having moved on with life. And he says, I do agree with the melancholy feel of the ending, which is probably why I wanted more. I hate that feeling because I know that I've developed an attachment to the characters and want more from them. I hadn't paid attention to the idea of SGU being a goodbye series for the other characters, but since you mentioned it, I see your point and I agree. I want to go back and watch the series again myself. May the Force be with you, Drew says. Then I have two more comments from our website. We have Agent Shadow from xfilestruth.com. He says, hey guys, I strongly agree that Firefly was the best show ever canceled early. Wow, what an amazing show and incredible characters. I was so annoyed to find out it was canceled. Great show, guys. Agent Shadow. And then
That's a cool podcast that they've put together over there if you're an X-Files fan.
Then there's Hank Harwell. He says, all right, I have already castigated the crew here via Twitter for their lack of acknowledging the first cyberpunk television series. If you don't believe me, check Wikipedia. Max Headroom. This is his Cancel Too Soon choice. I know the objections people have that the show was centered around the marketing gimmick of the Pepsi commercials. But the reality is the marketing side came later. He was created, so to speak, to be a virtual host of a music video show for a UK network. The character took off and the network wanted a backstory for Max. That backstory became the basis for a US series that lasted only two seasons, but even today, 25 years after its debut, still has much to say about our society and culture. I'm currently working on a series of posts that will celebrate the anniversary of the series and explore some spiritual themes present. And as soon as Hank posts those, we will be linking to them because that sounds very, very interesting. So those are our emails. the one last thing then we wanted to touch on was our favorite sci-fi fantasy franchise poll is closed. And the winner was, drum roll please, but not really because my microphone is on my table. Lord of the Rings won with 15 votes.
Yes, yes.
Star Trek, 11 votes. Star Wars, 9. Firefly, 4. Doctor Who, 4. Marvel Comics only had 2. Chronicles of Narnia had 1. Harry Potter had 1. Stargate had 1. And then 2 that I put on there, DC Comics had 0. Battlestar Galactica had 0. Which was interesting. I did have someone complain that we put sci-fi and fantasy together, and I can understand that. Although I just kind of lump sci-fi, fantasy, and horror all together as things that aren't possible, but that we can imagine.
Right.
And mysteries and romance and things like that are more like it is possible. It's just reality expanded a bit.
Which ones did you guys vote for? I'm curious to know.
Steve,
Lord
did you
of
vote?
The Rings.
You voted for
Lord
of the
Rings?
Rings,
yeah. I don't know if I actually voted on the site, but that's what I would have voted for.
Ben?
I voted for Star Trek.
Yeah. I voted. This was really, really tough, but I voted for Lord of the Rings. And if I would have went sci-fi, it would have been Star Trek. But Lord of the Rings had such an impact on me growing up, so I had to go there.
I had to go with Star Trek just because it is so big and textured, and maybe it wasn't necessarily meant to be that way at first. But it became that way. And I liked, I like reading Lord of the Rings, but Star Trek is like, it's like comfort food.
It's an interesting study when you have something like that where a lot of different writers, like Marvel Universe, DC Universe, a lot of different writers have contributed to this thing. And then eventually down the line, they said, we have to put this together cohesively and make some, structure to the timeline and make sure everything fits. And then, of course, later on, it was especially with Marvel and DC, they just jettisoned the whole thing and then just said any story can happen anytime.
Which we should talk about sometime.
Yeah, we should.
The reboots of the DC Universe. Our new poll is on the website. It's which of these Star Trek captains would you prefer as your commander? We have Captain Archer from Enterprise, Captain Kirk from the original series, Picard from The Next Generation, Janeway from Voyager, and Sisko from Deep Space Nine. However, I know there are other captains. Those are just the 5 series.
Yes.
The main captain.
Yes, there are other captains.
Yes, Steve. He sent me a screenshot of the credits from the original pilot episode, which never aired on TV.
Well, and the cage that came out in the cage, an episode.
Well, the menagerie with the 2-part where they took it and wove it into an episode featuring Captain Kirk. But I realized once I started going beyond those main captains, where do you stop? So I stopped at 5. So we have one last item, and that last item is we wanted to give some special shout-outs to some amazing people who have helped out with this episode, or not just this episode, but with the podcast.
Right.
And that is a friend of Steve and my, that's Jeff Slemons, who did the artwork for our caricatures.
Yeah.
He created Dr. Jace as Superman. He created Steve as Gimli, and he created me as Captain Kirk.
Captain Kirk.
Although he didn't give me Captain Kirk's girdle.
Okay. Yeah. Well.
But we're going for realism, right?
I can't complain. He made me Superman. It's hard to beat that.
Yeah.
Right. And I really am 3'6". So everyone.
We asked him for a caricature, and I was hoping for like a black and white line drawing, with dark lines that would look good. And he painted these things.
Yeah,
and put so much work into this.
Very
and Easter eggs and everything. It's just amazing.
It was fun, and it was exciting to get. And it did take a little while because he went full out, and so it wasn't when we were launching the website that wasn't ready. But we're using them now, and it's just beautiful. And so we want to say thank you to Jeff Slemons. Make him an honorary stranger or alien. He can choose. And then the other honorary stranger alien we've mentioned before, but I really want to mention again. And that is Dr. Jace's friend, Tim Leffel, who did the music for opening and closing credits. But he also mixed all of the dialogue and stuff into the opening credits. And we've gotten some compliments about that. And it is, again, just a great piece of work where I was hoping for just, 20, 30 beeps. Seconds of, you know, background music that we could, you know, and we got this fully produced piece. It's just, it's just awesome. So
the outro music's pretty cool too.
And again, we have to say, you know, he's an honorary stranger or alien. He can choose.
Yeah. I know him. He's definitely a stranger.
Okay. So, well, that's it for this episode then. And, we do have some things. Watch our blog, please. We've got articles going up. I just posted today. Of course, you'll be hearing this after the show airs. But I just posted a review today of the pilot episode of Awake on NBC, which is a great show. Go ahead and go to the website to read my review there. Dr. Jace has been posting. He's finished his time travel, all-time 10 greatest time travel movies. That episode, or those 10 posts have gone up.
Yes.
They're there that you can look at. And you know, if you agree or disagree, go ahead. And especially if you want to take his last post with the number one time travel movie, maybe take him to task on some of his choices or if he left out one. So, yeah, definitely check out our blog. And you can also like us on Facebook. And there's a link to that on our website, strangersandaliens.com. You can email us, podcast@strangersandaliens.com, if you have any comments or anything like that. We love reading and opening the mailbag.
Show ideas, article ideas, send them on in.
Also, if you rather than typing would rather record and want to record an MP3, you can send that to us as well, and we'll play that on the show as part of our feedback. So we do appreciate all the people who have been writing to us and love the conversations that have been happening on the blog and on the different places where we've been. Fans for Christ, we forgot those guys.
How do we give a shout out to them?
Well, hey, Ben, why don't you make that your closing comment?
That is, well, I.
Because if we all give our closing comments, that Steve go first, then you, and then I'll go last. So then you can get in that last little bit.
Yeah, well, there's this website, fansforchrist.org, I believe. And it's just sci-fi fans who are, you know, believers and love Jesus. And they post movie reviews. They have a very active forum, and they've also mentioned us a couple times. And so I wanted to give them a shout out as well. All right. Awkward silence.
Are we going to do closing comments?
I thought that was my closing comment. You told me it was.
Well, I know, but you're going to give us – I thought you were going to let all of us do a closing comment. That's what it says in the outline.
Well, yeah, I did mine, and in the outline – it says me, then Steve, then Dr. Jace.
Okay.
So should I be doing my closing comment right now?
Yeah. Yeah, you should.
Are we recording?
Yeah, we're still recording.
Okay. My closing comment would be if you have a website that you would like us to link to, or you want if you want to trade links, please feel free. Let us know. We would love to trade links with other good, worthy websites out there, like Fans for Christ. So just let us know, and we'll get that rocking.
Well, and we will end off with this. I'll give you this piece of this words of wisdom, and then hopefully it will guide your day. And just write it down and remember it. No matter how high an eagle flies, you can always throw a hammer through a window. Thank you and goodbye.
That's it, Dr. Jace. That's your final.
Yeah, that's my final.
That's something.
It is. It is something. Yeah. Godspeed, everyone.
You've been listening to the Strangers and Aliens podcast, hosted by Ben Avery, Dr. Jace O'Neill, and Steve McDonald. Our music was composed and mixed by Tim Leffel. We invite you to join the conversation by visiting our website, www.strangersandaliens.com, where you'll find show notes, articles, reviews, and more. You can also follow us on Twitter, where we are @strangeandalien, or like us on our Facebook page. If you'd like to email us directly, our email is podcast@strangersandaliens.com. And once again, thanks for listening.
awkward silence.